When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
And away we go on a Wednesday afternoon. It's hump day right here on the Sports Grid Network. The best hour of your day now is officially underway. What hour is that, you say? Yes, it's Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside here. Kevin Walsh, of course, will return back tomorrow. But today, for me, it is another solo mission. As you know, we love to get the callers' feedback here. It's open the entire show, even though we're in a new time slot. It used to be 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. We used to take a lot of phone calls. We will certainly do that as well. So if you'd like to give us a phone call, hot takes in the morning, let it rip. 844-843-6879. Once again, 844-843-6879. A lot of hot topics today, but also, you know why we love Wednesdays? There's a lot of day baseball. We're going to hit this entire card and go over it together to see if we can find some of those mismatches and have some fun with some of the breakdowns. And there was one game this morning, which I'm kind of upset with. I was handicapping both myself and Ben Stevens. The Baltimore Orioles, I thought, had a fantastic chance to absolutely do some damage at the plate. But sometimes pitchers change at this point and things go sour. And now we're going to have to refocus there, because it looked like we were just going to bet just about every single Orioles player to go over 1.5 bases, to go over, you know, an RBI. It was going to be that sweep. But we might have to look elsewhere. We will certainly do that. Did you guys know the Olympics have actually started? What? You're crazy, Donnie. They didn't start yet. Friday is when they start. That's the opening ceremonies here. Well, soccer's underway right now. And interesting, if you follow along in the men's grouping, under 23 do you have to be with a couple flyers, I should say. I think you get 3 players that can be over 23 years old, but they are underway now. And I did have some of the scores up here. Morocco 2-1 right now in the 90th minute plus. By the way, there's 14 minutes of injury time in this Argentina-Morocco game. I didn't even think you can get that many. Egypt and the Dominican Republic just underway, 0-0. Guinea and New Zealand just underway, 0-0. A game that did finish here, and I'm assuming it was quite an upset, even though there wasn't a winner or loser. It was a draw. Uzbekistan drew with Spain 1-1. France and Team USA get underway today. And we did preview that game. Heavy favorite for France. I think if you think the United States can win that outright, getting like a 6-1 or better price, which is pretty incredible. Also, every team is in training camp in the NFL. Oh, that's so nice. I mean, isn't that so nice? Yeah. It just feels good. It just feels good, man. The NFL's back in our lives. Day-to-day topics left and right. And one of those topics I'm going to talk about right now, we'll get to some Major League Baseball issues in a moment. CeeDee Lamb did not get on that plane for Oxnard, California, for the Dallas Cowboys training camp. He wants to be paid his money. The reason I'm starting with CeeDee Lamb here is I can't quite figure out what the Dallas Cowboys are doing at this point. When you have an owner, and let's also just take a look at what encompasses the Dallas Cowboys. The richest franchise in the world. Upwards, I think Forbes said, number one, which would be $9.1 billion to buy the Dallas Cowboys if they were for sale. Jerry Jones has repeatedly told us, oh man, we are all in this offseason. All in based on what? Not signing players? What was the offseason move they made? Eric Kendricks? A linebacker that's probably seen his better days in the past? Dak Prescott? Probably going to make in his next contract $55+ million, but not signed, so he counts a ton against that salary cap. CeeDee Lamb, one of the best wide receivers in football, wants a new contract, is eligible for a new contract, is now holding out with the Dallas Cowboys. And also you take a look at Micah Parsons, who is going to reset that market next year, apparently now, for getting paid at the highest point you could possibly get paid as a defensive player. So the Dallas Cowboys, if they were, quote-unquote, as Jerry Jones said, all in, wouldn't they have taken care of Dak Prescott, cut maybe his salary cap number in half at least? Wouldn't they have taken care of already CeeDee Lamb and made him one of the highest paid wide receivers in the history of the sport, and his number would have dropped based on what he's actually owed this year? And then handled Michael Parsons as well? Everything is up in the air, which includes your head coach, Mike McCarthy, in a lame duck season. This could go quickly south for the Cowboys, or Jerry Jones could be a genius based on what we initially thought this season would be, which could be a failure, and if it's great, Jerry would be a mad scientist. But I can't believe it's gotten to this point with CeeDee Lamb where he's not going to show up to training camp. Now, what that leads me to believe is they're probably getting close to a deal at this point. Because otherwise, if they weren't, he's not just going to sit out and be like, you know what, I'll blow a whole month of training camp here at $50,000 a day is what those fines would be. He's not going to do that. I would be surprised. Like, as we sit here on a Wednesday morning, I'm going to be surprised by Monday morning if we do not have a new deal in place for CeeDee Lamb. And quite frankly, I can't figure out why he doesn't have a new deal already at this point. Brandon Ayuk of the San Francisco 49ers. He's going to show up because apparently they're not as close as what maybe we would like to believe, because he's been asking for a trade multiple times in the offseason. And I know he's scheduled to make, what, $15-16 million, whatever it is this season, which is nothing to shake a stick at. But again, keep in mind, it's not the average person. I would play in that sport for $500,000. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't if you were in that spot. He deserves to be one of the highest paid wide receivers in football. I'm surprised the 49ers haven't taken care of. But also, he's about his money as well. If you're about to make $15 million, you don't want to start the season. It's like, skip the week and a half of camp. Cost me about $600,000-$700,000. Nobody wants to do that. So he's showing up to camp in hopes that, I guess, that good faith effort. I'm here. I'm practicing. Pay me what I'm worth. But if they didn't pay you in February, March, April, May, June, and now July, why are they going to pay you in the month of August or even September at this point? It's pretty wild. But that's the life in the NFL. Sometimes it does come down to deadlines here. But again, getting back with CeeDee Lamb and the Dallas Cowboys, he's got to get a deal done sooner than later. He actually holds the cards. No, Jerry Jones, granted, if Jerry Jones doesn't care about football games, like, hey, you know what? I'll find the guy, we'll take the money, we won't pay him, and we'll all be better. No, absolutely not. The Dallas Cowboys absolutely need him. There's no way that they can go through half of training camp without CeeDee Lamb in that lineup getting ready to play football. There's no way. He can't do it. He's got to be signed, and he's got to be signed sooner than later. There's no question about that. And I do think they are going to get that done. I don't think Jerry's that dumb to sort of play, you know, hide-and-go-seek on a contract and what works out best by ruining the locker room at the same time. You might be able to get away with that for Dak Prescott, because Dak Prescott's already got a ton of money in the bank, knowing if he just stays healthy, he is going to have a ton of money next year as well, when he re-signs with or without the Dallas Cowboys. Now let's start to get into some Major League Baseball topics, because I know we like to battle Major League Baseball. We're going to go over all the numbers today, all of the games. That's what's great to have a show that starts at 11 a.m. Eastern as opposed to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Some of those games would already be off. We could take that fresh approach. But we got to set this table here for Mike Trout and what happened yesterday. Trouty got hurt a little bit earlier this season, meniscus tear, got it redone, restructured, rehabbed, and came back. And you're telling me, after one inning of play, essentially, and one at bat, His knee is already giving him problems. He was coming back at just the right time. Showcase your talent, maybe get a buyer on the other end, and he goes to a contender, and you can watch Trout play Major League Playoff Baseball. Who knows what's going to happen now? I can't even believe I was reading that report. More hot topics on the way. It's Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission on a Wednesday morning edition of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My NFL tabs here on X have been blowing up this morning because training camps are underway all across the NFL. Zach Rosenblatt here embedded with the Jets. The first Aaron Rodgers pass of team drills was a completion to Alan Lazard, a diving catch. Hashtag Jets. DJ Bien Aim? I don't know how to pronounce that name, but that's irrelevant at this point. C.J. Stroud just threw a stop to Nico Collins, and Collins put a move on the rookie quarterback, Kamari Lassiter, that made the crowd go, ooh, as he sprinted down the sideline. And also Ari Mirov. How about this? EA Sports announced that Madden 25 player ratings will be released starting on Monday, July 29th. Just had the college football game out. Now you get Madden football out. We swing into training camp. And one more quick one from Jane Slater. I believe she's with the NFL Network, but typically embedded with the Cowboys. Still all quiet as it relates to Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb's contracts per a source that is informed. Live coverage from camp starting Thursday from Oxnard. We're back. Ho-ho! Feels good to be back in a big way. Let's get to the phone lines here, as I said. Open all hour long as always. 844-843-6879. Jordan from Phoenix calling in. He's ready for some Niner football and a big season. What's good, Jordan?
What's good, Donnie? How you doing, man?
My man, what's good out there?
Oh, you know, getting ready just like you for the football season, best time of year. Mm-hmm. I just want to hit on Ayuk real quick. I think I know we haven't signed him all offseason, but sure, as you know, as a football fan, the Niners typically don't sign players until August, right before the season. So they always give us a little scare, but I think it's going to get done. The bigger issue, though, is for the Cowboys, I got to say. Honestly, I'd pay CeeDee Lamb before you get Dak Prescott paid. I honestly think they got to lock him up. I don't think Dak Prescott's the answer. He's a good quarterback, but I mean, Dallas has already been to the playoffs numerous times with him. I think they got kind of need a change over there. So just wanted to shout you out, Donnie. Best show on the grid. Shout out K-Dub. I know he's off. And JP, the best producer on the show. You all have a great day.
There you go. Love it. Jordan checking in, rallying the valley out there in the Phoenix area, and he's right about that. I think he's on point. Like, CeeDee Lamb is a must-pay. I think you can wait on Dak Prescott, and I don't think it changes the room with Dak Prescott not getting paid. He's used to that, right? Some guys say, you know what, as quarterbacks, like Kirk Cousins used to do it all the time. Look, I'm going to get $20, $30, $40, $50 million this year. If I play well, decent, or average, I'm going to get the same amount next year. I'm not worried about it right now. And his mindset's not going to change. Like, I don't think I want to hold out. Dak Prescott's not holding out. He's in camp here. He's going to play this year, no matter what the contract situation is. Because, again, he's probably going to reset the market next year for quarterbacks. But CeeDee Lamb hasn't rang that cash register yet. And he's about to do it. And a lot of other wide receivers in his class and also in his year, basically, you just say, in the NFL, that have gotten paid a lot of money. And he knows he's due a lot of money, and he wants that money, and they should pay him. And also, getting back to that Brandon Ayuk situation in California for the San Francisco 49ers, it's one thing, and I used up this analogy this morning. Like, if you're the Carolina Panthers and Brian Burns, like, what's the point of making him, let's just say, the highest-paid defensive end in football or defensive player in football? You're not going to win any more games than you are going to this year because you're a bad football team, right? He's not going to lift you from, hey, we're 5 wins to 9 wins in a playoff run. It's a great defensive player, but it doesn't help there. So he gets shipped off to the Giants. They try to recoup some draft picks. I understand that. But with like CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk, like, you're expecting big things because those guys are a big part of your offense. Do I still think the 49ers would be a very good football team without Brandon Ayuk? Yes. But he fits perfectly into the equation in San Francisco. And there's no hate involved. Like, I don't like the 49ers. Like, I'm an Eagles fan at heart. And to damage the 49ers would be fantastic if Brandon Ayuk got traded to, I don't know, let's just say the Pittsburgh Steelers, an AFC team. But from a Niners perspective, when you're all in on the Super Bowl right now, before you actually have to make that huge investment in your quarterback, why are we nickel and diming our wide receiver here? Like, I don't know what he's actually asking for, and they've probably done a pretty good job out there with John Lynch saying, you know what, we're going to negotiate behind the scenes. No information is going to be leaked out here what he's actually asking for. But again, the longer you wait on these wide receivers, the more you are going to have to pay them. So good call by Jordan there. I can't wait. It's football season. The topic's going to be hot and heavy throughout the rest of the summer. And we're just a few short days away at this point now from watching preseason football at the NFL Hall of Fame game and Hall of Fame weekend coming up. But I did say in that last segment, talking about Mike Trout, what a shame, man. 32 years old at this point, and if you are the Angels, you're going nowhere. I'd sort of think the goal would have been, since losing Ohtani, I mean, one of the worst one franchises in sports, right? You have Trout and Ohtani in their primes, and you can't do anything with them. Now, granted, I understand Mike Trout has been injured, but Shohei Ohtani walking away without getting anything back for him, that's quite comedic at this point. And also, walking away, which means walking basically across the street to go play for the Los Angeles Dodgers when he was already with the Angels. But Mike Trout, like, let's think like what it could have been for him. And I don't mean his career just being in L.A. and if they were a good baseball team. But let's just focus on this season. Comes in, he's having a very good early season. Gets injured. Oh, my goodness, Mike Trout always gets hurt. Rehab sort of falls off the page. And I remember asking yesterday, like, I haven't heard anything on Mike Trout. And it just so happens, like, that day he's coming back for rehab. Starts like, oh, how about that? You know, July 23rd. August 1st trade deadline, or August, September, or excuse me, maybe it's the 31st, whatever, coming up in about 8 or 9 days, you say to yourself, could he be on the move? And is the showcase perfect? Mike Trout rehabs, gets healthy, goes through a rehab stint, comes back to Major League Baseball, shows he's ready to play, and maybe another team would bite on that large contract, or at least the Los Angeles Angels could say, you know what, we'll pick up a significant portion of his remaining contract in order to get maybe slightly better haul back on some of those, you know, prospects that you would get. But now it looks like that's all up in smoke again. Like, he didn't even do anything. It's one thing if it was like, you know what, he rehabbed, he came back, he feels good, and you watch him play center field, and a ball was hit up against the wall that he dove and banged his knee into the wall. It's like, ooh, man, that's just a bad break right there. I can't believe he came all the way back and got injured. But basically having one plate appearance and playing, for all intents and purposes, one inning, and he's already going to have to sit out today, because they talked to Ron Washington, the manager of the Angels, and he was basically explaining, we expected him to play, I think, 5 innings. The very next day, not play the field, but be a DH. The third day, play 7 innings. Then they would evaluate if they were going to bring him back up, which means he'd be back in Major League Baseball before the weekend here. It looks like that's going to put the kibosh. Hopefully, they're just being proactive at this point. And maybe it's not anything different or something you have to worry about. Because that's ridiculous, man. Mike Trout being traded to a contender at the deadline would have been so much fun to watch if he was healthy. Now it looks like that certainly might not happen. Major League Baseball is taking place this afternoon. What do you say, people? Let's start the handicapping process and go through it together right here on Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball people, full slate here. And we're going to get to take a look at it before any of the games start. That is absolutely tremendous. That's what we love here. That's where the fun brings in. Now, okay, you know we like to start these off by trying to identify pitchers right off the bat that we're probably going to fade and some pitchers that we're going to stay away from. Now, it looks like that Marlins game, it looks like Edward Cabrera is actually going to start this one. That's good news. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But if we're looking at the card today, and I always preface to say, we're in a new time slot. Maybe you're not used to listening at this time. Maybe you're driving around first time in. Welcome. It's Moneyline. We've been doing this for quite some time in the afternoon. Now, just to explain to people, I like to pick a card out from the pitcher's perspective and say, who do we like? Who do we dislike today? And I really don't care how much baseball you've done, let's just say, in the late month of March, April, and May, or for most of May, right? Early parts of it. I like to take a look at the last 60 days, which essentially will be from now, and we'll date it back to, let's just say, May 24th, give or take a couple days. There's 25 pitchers on the card today that have a minimum of 20 innings pitched over those last 60 days. So if we're looking at the pitchers that you don't want to fade today, top five, Tyler Glasnow, Los Angeles Dodgers, coming back off a short stint on the IL plus the All-Star break. Chris Sale, Atlanta Braves, due to pitch yesterday, got rained out. He's pitching today in a doubleheader. Aaron Nola, the Philadelphia Phillies. Jack Flaherty of the Detroit Tigers. And Tanner Bibee of the Cleveland Guardians. That's the top five. XFIP minus numbers, which again, 100 is that baseline. If that number is above 100, you're not doing all that well in Major League Baseball. If you're below the 100 number, you're doing well. Just to take a look at that top five. Glasnow's at a 63 XFIP minus. Chris Sale's at a 64. Aaron Nola's at a 76. Jack Flaherty here. Let me just make sure I raise this back up so I have this in order. All right. Aaron Nola's at a 76. Tanner Bibee's at a 76. Now, if we start to move down the card and say, who's really doing poorly here? Which means, you know, you can look at the numbers above 100. 101, 107, 108, and say, okay, they are above average, so if their non-analytical numbers are matching up with those, you might want to go ahead and press the button. But if you're looking to really fade pitchers, you're looking at least at that minus 115 or higher, preferably, at least a 120 XFIP minus number or higher. There's two pitchers on the card over the past 60 days with an over 120 XFIP minus number. That's J.P. Sears at a 122, and that's Chris Flexen of the Chicago White Sox. And it feels like, to be honest, every single time Chris Flexen is on the mound, he's always the worst pitcher on the card analytically. Now, by the way, we did see James Paxton get cut recently here from the Los Angeles Dodgers and DFA'd, not because of the actual results he has, but his analytical numbers were absolutely atrocious. There's no surprise they cut him loose. But the Chicago White Sox, not really interested in winning games. They just don't want to bring up some of their young talent. So Flexen continues to stay in that lineup. Other pitchers in that bottom five, Martin Perez of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Cal Quantrill of the Colorado Rockies, and Griffin Canning. Known supporter there to be, you know, bad baseball pitcher handicapping right there. He comes in at a 111 and an ERA of 5.33 over the past 60 days. All right, let's get started. Now, if we look at the first game, Cincinnati and Atlanta, 12:20 start, first game of doubleheader. Sometimes I remove the doubleheader games from the equation because we don't have the exact starters just yet. Actually, you know what? We probably should at this point. Let me just hit a quick refresh here just to take a look because there's no doubt in my mind those numbers are out. Okay, we got them out here. So starters today, and just to take a look at the Atlanta Braves and how poorly they have performed at the plate. Frankie Montas is not a great pitcher by any stretch. Comes in 16th on the card today, a 107 XFIP minus number 5.06 ERA over the past 60 days. He also really struggles with left-handed batters. However, there's nobody in that lineup doing any damage from the left-hand side. Kelenic's got a 203 ISO, which is above average and decent, but his weighted on base percentage is a 283, and his K rate against right-handed pitching over the past month, close to 30%. So if you're looking at the lineup today for the Braves in game number one, expecting them to do damage, I don't know where the damage is coming from. Outside of Marcell Ozuna's weighted on base percentage of 360, listen to the rest of this lineup for the Braves today. Kelenic, 283. Nacho Alvarez, 0 ISO. Green and Grand, that's only 4 at-bats. Matt Olson threw 84 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month, an 066 ISO and a 177 weighted on base percentage. This is the guy that led the league last year in home runs in the National League. You got to be kidding me, man. Adam Duvall, 265 weighted on base percentage, terrible. Eddie Rosario, 225, terrible. Sean Murphy, 297, terrible. Arcia, 255, horrendous. Zach Short, 185, terrible. Like, Atlanta Braves games are just stone-cold unders. Alan Winans going to start the game for the Braves, and quite frankly, I don't even know how you bet the Braves in game number one. Lineup is better for the Reds, and quite frankly, maybe the better pitcher as well for the Reds. Tough season here for the Atlanta Braves. Everybody's injured in the doubleheader on deck. Let's keep moving forward to find some winners today right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Handicapping Major League Baseball on a Wednesday afternoon. Fantastic. Absolutely love it. Let's continue. St. Louis and Pittsburgh. Saw yesterday Skeens goes into the ninth inning and takes the loss, but certainly he is right in the thick of it here for the race for the Cy Young Award. It's going to come down to Sale. It's going to come down to Wheeler. It's going to come down to Skeens. We'll see how that turns out. But Skeens, again, obviously not on the mound today. The Pittsburgh Pirates are going to go up against Matthew Liberatore, the left-handed pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. Average numbers over the past 30 days, average numbers on the season itself. The issue is going to be, though, the Pittsburgh Pirates and what they actually do against left-handed pitchers. Andrew McCutchen's got a high ISO power number of 200. O'Neill Cruz at 364. The best batter in the lineup overall probably is O'Neill Cruz. And quite frankly, he's a left-handed batter. You usually see it as the right-handed batters being the best. A couple of guys in that Pittsburgh lineup are over the median average around 325 for weighted on base percentage against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. But how about this? The ISO power numbers, as I just told you, McCutchen is a 200. O'Neill Cruz is a 364. The rest of the batters, Reynolds, a 111. Connor Joe, 105. Nick Gonzalez, 045. Ke'Bryan Hayes, 056. And then the final three guys in the lineup today, Joey Bart, zero ISO power number. Joshua Palacios, zero ISO power number. Michael A. Taylor, zero ISO power number. So let's flip it over to the other side and see if we maybe get some looks from the St. Louis Cardinals perspective. Martin Perez is going to be on the mound today, and I told you earlier, that's one of the pitchers that you probably want to fade today, but a couple things have to work as well. Martin Perez's last 60 days, a 116 xFIP minus, which is elevated, an ERA that's ridiculous at a 7.54, and an xFIP number of 4.67, which is below the ERA, so he's getting a little bit unlucky, but still not a great pitcher by any stretch. He is pitching at home, and that's going to be in PNC Park, which, again, that xFIP number sort of weeds that out and says, all right, we know he pitches in a pitcher's ballpark. Let's adjust some of these numbers. But if we are just looking at the home numbers themselves on the season, Martin Perez has thrown 40 and 2/3 innings pitched at PNC Park. 4.87 ERA, which is high. But he does have an xFIP that is under 4, just under 4, at 3.99. If you were looking to pull the trigger on the St. Louis Cardinals today, as a side, good luck to you there on that. Probably not going to look that direction. But there are two batters in the middle of that lineup. It's Nolan Arenado. I'm just going to write these names down just for research purposes a little bit later. So it's Nolan Arenado, and it's Paul Goldschmidt. Now, if we're looking at the statistics for both of these guys against left-handed pitching over the past month, Nolan Arenado's got a 261 ISO power number. Paul Goldschmidt's got a 267 ISO power number. High weighted on base percentage, low strikeout numbers. If you're looking to attack a market of, let's just say, total bases and or RBI, maybe a home run, it would be Arenado and Goldschmidt going up against Martin Perez. Not a great game per se overall, but that's probably where I'd be looking. Philadelphia Phillies today and the Minnesota Twins. Yesterday, the Phillies finally woke up in the ninth inning, scored three runs to win 3-0 over the Minnesota Twins. A great pitching performance coming back after a couple missed starts for Zach Wheeler and the All-Star break. Looked good, threw over 100 pitches yesterday, went seven innings, didn't give up an earned run. He takes it down with the Phillies take the victory down. Matt Strom came in the ninth inning to close it out. Aaron Nola will be on the mound today, and one of those pitchers that I told you, maybe not the guy that you do want to fade. Last 60 days in Major League Baseball, 76 xFIP minus number and a 3.03 xFIP number, which is very good. Let me just cross-reference his road starts on the season. He is pretty good on the road, too. 367 ERA, 345 xFIP number. Not going to get me looking at this lineup and saying, like, look, Trevor Larnach, Byron Buxton, Matt Wallner all have really good numbers against right-handed pitching, but Aaron Nola has been pretty steady. Now, here's one thing that sometimes you want to take a look at, because all the bats aren't built equally, right? Right-handed pitcher versus left-handed batters typically gives the right-handed pitcher a little bit of struggles. On the season, Aaron Nola's been pretty good against lefties, a 291 weighted on base percentage and a 195 ISO. That 195 ISO in the season is a little bit elevated, but let's just fast forward and take a look at the past 30 days with Aaron Nola. That ISO power number is at a 165 between lefty and righty batters because he's dominating righties. But against lefties alone, a 250 ISO and a 349 weighted on base percentage. So theoretically, if you're looking to attack, it would be from the left-hand side. Trevor Larnach would be a look, and also Matt Wallner, who's had 24 bats against right-handed pitching over the past month, a 381 ISO and a 554 weighted on base percentage. So if you're getting technical, those guys would be a play, but I'm just looking at that big picture where I need multiple angles to match up, so I'm really not going to fade Aaron Nola today. Steven Okert on the line, the left-handed pitcher for the Minnesota Twins, not a lot of work this season. 124 batters he's faced, 152 ISO, 316 weighted on base percentage, only 25 batters he's faced over the past 30 days. So even if you're looking at Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, and Nick Castellanos with really good numbers over the past month against left-handed pitchers, probably not going to be on my card today with that one. Moving forward, Milwaukee and Chicago. You take a look at this game yesterday, not a lot of offense, particularly from Chicago's side, and quite frankly, not a lot of offense from Milwaukee's side. 1-0 final. Today, Chicago does come in as the favorite at Wrigley, wind blowing in 9 miles per hour, about 75 degrees at first pitch. Nothing really to go off of on Joe Ross, because he does have some seasonal statistics, but nothing over the past 30 days. And we know the Chicago Cubs right now, each one of those players checking their phones, calling their agents to see if they're going to be on the move, since their general manager slash front office said, you know what? Yeah, this team's going to be up for grabs at the deadline. We're open for business so we can trade players. Never a good environment to have. Doesn't really breed a lot of, hey, let's get out to the ballpark today and win a game for the Cubs, as opposed to saying, I don't know if I'm going to be a Cub over the next 24 to 48 hours. If we're looking at Justin Steele, however, he's been really good this season, and particularly over the past 60 days. An 85 xFIP minus number, a 2.06 ERA, and an xFIP number of 3.41. His last 30 days, 134 batters he's faced, an ISO power number against, 095. A weighted on base percentage against, 246. He's been phenomenal. Now, having said that, Milwaukee's actually handled themselves quite well at the plate against left-handed pitchers over the past month. You got some really elevated guys. Rhys Hoskins, Joey Ortiz, and William Contreras have hammered left-handed pitching. Contreras, a 412 ISO power number. Hoskins, 476. Ortiz, 429. And again, 165 to 170 is the average. And these guys are well above the average. Three times plus the average here. But also, if you're just looking to bet blindly, you probably would take those guys. But again, you got to have that big picture here. Steele's been really good. I'm not going to fade Steele and take anybody here off that lineup for the Milwaukee Brewers. Joe Ross, let me just see what he's actually been doing in the minor leagues right now. So we'll go Joe Ross, because we don't have any statistics for Joe over the past 30 days. So I'm going to take a look at his game log, and we'll go to minor leagues. All right, so he's got three starts. Or has he starts here? Yeah, well, Bexy. Are they starting? Yes, game started, but real simple. On the 6th of the month, this is again July, single A baseball versus Miami. He went 2 2/3 innings pitched, gave up three hits and one run, which was unearned. Then he jumped up 4 days later to Milwaukee's triple A team up against the Cubs. 3 2/3 innings pitched, two hits, no earned runs. But how about this? You want a tune-up start coming back to Major League Baseball? These are some of the numbers that always baffle me, because it's apparent they just don't care. They just need a starter. He faced Baltimore's AAA team. Four innings pitched, guys. Nine hits, eight runs, two home runs, and included three walks, and only had three strikeouts. So I don't know what he's rehabbing or what he was working on, but once he played Baltimore's AAA team, he got absolutely smoked. But again, you're betting on the Chicago Cubs and expecting them to have an unbelievable outcome today, where they're going against a pitcher they can hit. But then again, maybe they could have hit Colin Ray yesterday. They didn't even touch him at all. It's just an interesting circumstance, because you might look like a genius if you play the Chicago Cubs today, because theoretically, the pitching matchup well in hand for the Chicago Cubs. And if you can at least get a draw at the plate, it would make some sense. But again, uninspired baseball by a team that the front office is basically giving up on, it's not a great look. Next up on deck, we're going to take a look at the Boston Red Sox in Colorado. By the way, do you know the Red Sox shut out the Rockies in Colorado yesterday and also plated six runs? More baseball to go. It's a Wednesday afternoon chock full of Major League Baseball. I'm Donnie Wrightside right here on the grid, and we'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, party people, you ready for this one? Finally, we found a game that we can sink our teeth into. It's the Boston Red Sox, the Colorado Rockies today. Boston is a favorite here. Pivetta is going to be on the mound for the Red Sox, and Cal Quantrill on the mound for the Colorado Rockies. These are the games that we like, because let's go over the analytical numbers. Again, 25 pitchers on the card today, minimum 20 innings pitched over the past 60 days. Number 22 out of number 25 on the card, that's Cal Quantrill. A 113 XFIP minus number, a 480 ERA, and a 4.55 XFIP. Today in Colorado, 95 degrees at first pitch. Wind's not really helping or hurting. About a 5 mile an hour wind blowing from the right foul pole over to the left foul pole. Let's get to the good stuff here. Cal Quantrill is a right-handed pitcher over the past 30 days, has been really struggling, both against lefty and righty batters. 84 batters he's faced in total, a 311 ISO power number against, and a 414 weighted on base percentage. If we break that down between lefty and righties here, lefties have a 226 ISO, which is very good. Righties, a 372, which is ridiculously good against them. Weighted on base percentage, 345, slightly above average for lefties. Right-handed batters, a 465. Absolutely electric against him. Now, if we're looking at this Boston Red Sox lineup today, against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, they've done extremely well. Jarren Duran, 328 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage of 413. Tyler O'Neill, 174 ISO power number, 357 weighted on base percentage. Rafael Devers is breaking the computer screen right now. Through 52 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, a 630 ISO power number and a 648 weighted on base percentage. It doesn't even make sense. Wilder Abreu, a 235 ISO, 324 weighted on base percentage. Dominic Smith, a 239 ISO, 385 weighted on base percentage. Rafaela, 265 ISO, 365 weighted on base percentage. Take your pick here. Just take your pick. Because I know for one thing, I'm going to be getting into that milestone market with one plus runs, hits, and RBI. Fantastic market. There's a couple guys here on the Red Sox that make sense. Now, typically, you just want to pick one out at this point. And to be honest, because sometimes you look at the numbers, right? Are they going to continue to pitch to Rafael Devers? They probably will. So it's probably Rafael Devers being the best chance on the card to get, obviously, a base hit, a run, or an RBI. And if you're asking for an RBI chance, of course it's going to be Rafael Devers. But you're going to pay a premium for that, being in Colorado against a pitcher that he can absolutely hit. But if you're looking for maybe a run-scoring market and maybe to get 5 to 6 at-bats today, Jarren Duran's got to be on that list for you as well. But so many good players to look at from the Boston Red Sox. That's a 3:10 Eastern start. So when I get off the show, going to grab some lunch, sort of focus on the card. Make it known right now, as I'm putting an asterisk around the Red Sox, they will be in the card on multiple different occasions today for me. No doubt about it. Houston and Oakland today. Hunter Brown's going to be on the mound today, taking on J.P. Sears. Now, we told you already, J.P. Sears, a 122 XFIP minus number past 60 days and a 4.98 XFIP number. Let's take a look at J.P. Sears' numbers at home. 4.43 ERA on the season through 44 and two-thirds innings, but a 5.01 XFIP number. So right away, you're going to want to focus on the lineup today for the Houston Astros. Now, granted, for the full season, J.P. Sears' left-handed pitcher has struggled with right-handed batters, a 206 ISO and a 356 weighted on base percentage. It's actually been improving over the past 30 days against right-handed batters, a 188 ISO and a 326 weighted on base percentage. Having said that, There's five guys in this lineup. Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, Myers, and Dubon that you want to pay attention to. But to be honest, you're probably going to focus on the first two guys in that lineup, Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman. Very good ISO, very good weighted on base percentage. Now, Yordan Alvarez is off the charts. His last 25 at-bats against left-handed pitching, he's got a 429 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 606. So I can't fault you for saying, Donnie, I don't care about the lefty-lefty split. Alvarez has been killing it here. Now, also in Oakland, you like the day games much more than the night games. It's a 337 start. So it's 1237 out there. That marine layer isn't going to be there. Typically, we have temperatures at night. You see it all the time. 65 degrees, maybe 70. We're going to approach 80-degree temperatures in Oakland today with the wind blowing out to right field. Now, granted, that jet stream is always blowing out. Usually it's center field, right center field, to get that same thing. But warmer temperatures today, and I do think a pitcher on the mound where Altuve, Bregman, and Alvarez can get after. So we're going to go Astros again with an asterisk around it. There's a lot of good names to sort of work on there. 3:40 p.m. this afternoon, the Los Angeles Angels taking on the Seattle Mariners. Griffin Canning is going to be on the mound today. One of our friends that we always like to fade. The past 60 days, a 111 ISO. Apologize. A 111 XFIP minus number, a high ERA, and a higher XFIP number at 4.53. Here's the issue. He's a a right-handed pitcher. He gets batted around by lefties and righties, specifically over the past 30 days. The issue is going to be is that Seattle Mariners lineup is so bad. It just is. Because even when you take a look at a guy like Victor Robles, 21 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month, a 353 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 588. That guy probably is going to be on your card, maybe even a Cal Raleigh. But the strikeout numbers are so high. And the reason I bring this up is, when you're looking for RBI, sometimes you're picking guys in the middle of the lineup with high weighted on-base percentage and high ISO power numbers in the event that the first few guys in the lineup are on base. So when you get that at bat with first and third and one out, you say, hey, man, just put the baseball in play. Look at the first five batters in the lineup today for the Mariners against right-handed pitching over the past month. Strikeout percentages, 27%, 29%, 37%, 36%, and 29%. So sometimes you take a look at Victor Robles, like, hey, man, he's really crunching the baseball. Sometimes all you need to do is just put the ball in play, and these guys certainly don't do that. So even though I do want to fade Griffin Canning, just a real poor performance here from Seattle, particularly, you know, not even able to beat the Los Angeles Angels is ridiculous. Luis Castillo will be on the opposite side. Hasn't been having a sensational season by any stretch, but his numbers are decent. Past 30 days, a 119 through 119 batters, an ISO power number of 093, which is very good, and a weighted on base percentage of 263. So as much as I would love to fade Canning, you're looking at a really good pitcher's ballpark and a lineup that just doesn't fit the bill. But also, if you see that box score at the end of the game, Victor Robles or Cal Raleigh as an RBI, we're not going to be all that surprised. But my goodness, Cal Raleigh, 71 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month, a 37% K rate. Brother, put the ball in play. Help some of these people out here. Help some people out. That's what the goal is here of Moneyline. We're creeping through. We won't get to all these Major League Baseball games. We're going to pick out a few here coming up in the final segment to make sure we have that well-rounded approach. I have a couple teams in the bank right now. Let's see if we can add some more. Sonny Wrightside on a solo mission. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Astros listed as teams that you want to be a participant on, at least with some RBI props, some totals props, all that good stuff here. Let's add another team to that list, and that's the Baltimore Orioles as a minus 136 favorite, still staying in South Beach to take on the Miami Marlins. Edward Cabrera on the mound today. On the season, only 153 batters he's faced, shelled. ISO power number 238, weighted on base percentage 384. Lefties and righties beating him around, particularly the left-handed batters. Last 56 batters he's faced over the past 30 days, a 396 ISO combined between lefty and righty batters, a 462 weighted on base percentage. So you go right to that order and say, I want a left-handed batter. Well, you got a couple in that lineup you can certainly get to. Gunnar Henderson would be one that you're probably looking at. Anthony Santander would be one that you're looking at. Ryan O'Hearn is one that you're looking at. Colton Cowser, Cedric Mullins, see what I mean? We got a five spot there. So again, this is one of those teams you want to circle. So now we have the Red Sox, and that game is a 3:10 start. The Houston-Oakland game, obviously Houston is a circle there with a couple really good plays that you can have. That game starts at 3:37, and then you have a 6:40 start between Baltimore and Miami. A lot of good things to look at there. San Diego and Washington this afternoon. Waldron will be on the mound taking on Mitchell Parker. Let me just take a look at Waldron's numbers overall. They're average, 107. XFIP minus. Actually, it's a pretty good ERA at 2.59, but again, that's the least of the numbers we care about. 430 XFIP number. If you're lining up him, talking about Waldron, against that Washington Nationals lineup, Waldron has struggled against right-handed batters over the past 30 days. Hasn't struggled with them on the season, but just a little struggle lately here. A lot of really good numbers here for the Washington Nationals, by the way. Rain is in the forecast, but an 85-degree forecast, 6-mile-an-hour winds blowing out the center field. Abrams, Winker, Yepes, Ruiz, and Garcia. All of those guys have elevated weighted on base percentages and ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching. So if you're looking at right-handers getting the best of Waldron, most of it's lefties here. Garcia lefty, Ruiz is going to be a lefty, Yepes is the righty. Winker's a lefty, and C.J. Abrams is a lefty. So maybe you're looking at Yepes in that lineup, but not in love with it because his numbers aren't off the charts, but just something to look at. Subway Series tonight, I do think the actual New York Mets take another game here. Short two-game set for them. Mets won yesterday, and I think the blueprint's out there right now. Just pitch around Aaron Judge. Make the rest of the lineup deal with you. Gerrit Cole hasn't been great, per se, coming back off of the injured list, and it's just too high of a price. Minus 168 split, plus 145 or so on the opposite side. I think the Mets probably win that game. Tampa Bay and Toronto. Zach Eflin going up against Yariel Rodriguez. No real looks in that game per se either. Chris Flexen is on the mound, people. So that's another team you want to circle. That is the Texas Rangers. Because we do have Chris Flexen on the card today as the worst pitcher at a 5 ERA, a 133 xFIP minus, and an xFIP number of 5.40. You take a look at Flexen being a right-handed pitcher. Now, lefty and righties have been really hitting him around, but primarily from that left side. And there's two guys in the middle of that lineup you're definitely going to want to look at. It's Corey Seager and it's Josh Smith. RBI chances here, base hit chances here. You get the option here. So four teams now. Red Sox, Astros, Baltimore Orioles, Texas Rangers that are coming up here. Only two games left on the card tonight, so we sort of finished perfectly here. Arizona, Kansas City, not a lot of love for this game, but Ryan Nelson certainly isn't a great pitcher by any stretch. A 108 xFIP minus over the past 60 days. And he does struggle a little bit more with lefties than righties over the past 30 days. But on the season, a 184 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 343 through 398 batters. Of course, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be there. Of course, Salvador Perez is going to be there. Hunter Renfroe even showing good numbers. And Kyle Isbell in that nine hole. Certainly, I'm going to put the asterisk on them right now. Let's go KC Royals with an asterisk. So now we got Red Sox, Astros, Baltimore, Texas, and Kansas City. See how we're getting up there in numbers right now? Starting to make some sense here. Fade some of these pitchers. Late night action tonight. Robbie Ray returns to the mound here for the San Francisco Giants. Good luck. I don't know how that's going to turn out, even though the Dodgers don't have a lot of great numbers outside of their first four batters with weighted on base percentages and ISO power numbers against left-handed pitching. Glasnow coming back after a short stint on the IL plus, as we stated, the All-Star break. He should be decent tonight. Now, you're going to lay that minus 190-ish price on the Dodgers? Probably not here. Can you trust Robbie Ray? Probably not. Seems like a game that's probably just going to be a complete leftover for me. So there you go. Full Major League Baseball card. Five teams right now on our radar. Afternoon action. Going to get some lunch. Going to turn this into profitability. Going to get some base hits, some RBI, maybe some home runs. That's how we do it here. A Wednesday edition, hump day edition of Moneyline. Solo mission by your boy Donnie Wrightside. Tomorrow, OK Dubs will be back in the building. A lot more hot topics and a lot more fun. Keep it right here on the grid. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside right here in front of the mic. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of Moneyline, and we'll see you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.